The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. We just saw something we have to put up. This has nothing to do with anything, but part of that same athletic anonymous NBA poll that we were talking about earlier, how Wembanyama was clearly the defensive player of the year by that poll, and how NBA anonymous NBA players thought Rudy Gobert was the most overrated, which sounds more like just being about popularity than anything. But there was the great, they also asked these anonymous NBA players, who's the greatest player of all time? Who's the greatest player of all time, right? Simple question. It's the old Jordan LeBron thing, right?
This was circulating. I caught this circulating around our old NBA chat that I know you share with the same group with the tennis chats, right?
Is it the same people?
I think a lot of them are.
So Jordan, 45.9%. The great Michael Jordan, MJ. No surprise, right? LeBron James, number two, 42.1%. Kobe, 9.8%. Oh, okay. Some people think he is. Some people think he isn't. Steph Curry, 4. Magic Johnson, 5.
Okay, whatever. Maybe they got a vote. Yeah. Right. 133 votes. Okay.
I'll give you 1,000 guesses who number 6 is.
That's too funny, man.
Paul Pierce, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Pierce was 0.8% of the vote. I'm going to guess Paul Pierce has a vote in this. He's got to be one of the anonymous.
Oh, my God.
Paul Pierce.
It was supposed to be all current players, though, right? Like, I think, wasn't that what you caught on the Wemby one?
Oh,
I think all these
right.
are all current players.
So maybe it's Paul Pierce talking to somebody. Vote for me.
I don't know what's funnier, the idea of Paul Pierce voting for himself or someone in the NBA currently possibly, even just possibly, thinking that Paul Pierce belongs in the same conversation.
Clearly influenced by Paul Pierce. No question. Really? 6 greatest of all time?
I actually feel like we could whittle this down somehow. Like, okay, who would be in love with Paul Pierce? Clearly someone who hates LeBron and Steph Curry, right? Like, has to hate both of them to consider Paul Pierce somehow above them, who they've played against,
There's
right?
There's no played. Way you can explain yourself into Paul Pierce. There's no way.
I don't think so either. I'm trying to, I want to know who this is so bad now.
But the reason that it's comical is because we know of Paul Pierce that he highly overrates his position in the annals of NBA history.
Yes. He was a very, very good player. One of the all-time very goods. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well said.
Yep.
I want to know who voted for him so bad. Also, it's also hilarious if it's just a joke, right? Like, if you're like,
right.
like if someone
Pierce.
In the locker room that's like, yo, bro, I just got this poll from The Athletic. I'm just going to write in Paul Pierce and see what happens.
That's more likely than anything, that somebody knows that Paul Pierce highly overrates himself in the history of the NBA and is like, let me mess with Paul Pierce and vote for him for all greatest of all time just to throw his ego into this.
I mean, like, if LeBron sent his name in, that would be like the greatest LeBron move ever.
Paul Pierce. Should be noted he's a Boston Celtic champion, but there you go.
Yeah, I know. We're like sitting here laughing. We're laughing about an all-time good.
No, but I'm just like, I mean, I can go through players in history who won championships who were key cogs in NBA teams. Like, I'll go back to most people's time. Bobby Dandridge of the 78 Bullets is a better player for his era than Paul Pierce was
Roughly how many names fall in between, let's say, even a MJ LeBron and where Paul Pierce ranks? 60? More. Okay.
Are you kidding me? Of all time?
I would think way more, too.
Not noted on that brief list we just discussed. Wilt, Russell.
No Wilt, Kareem, no Larry Bird, none of those guys.
Paul Pierce. Anyway, we get tweets.
Where does he rank in the all-time greatest Celtics?
That's right. Well, we get tweets at Beatty the Book. Jesse Welch, it's truly sad to see these awards voters... Unwritten rules. Can't be a second-year player for most improved. Can't be a pitcher for MLB Rookie of the Year. Can't come back from dying on the field for comeback player of the year in football. Nevada Azer. Oh, it's a great question. Hey, Gil, not sure if you've covered this, but are we to assume that starting tonight that TNT will start announcing the awards winners? Great question.
Next couple days, I'm assuming.
It starts tomorrow night.
Okay.
The awards winners will begin on TNT, not tonight, but tomorrow night, Tuesday, April 23rd. Now, if your follow-up question to me is, oh, that's great, Gil, what's the order of the awards? I cannot tell you that because they just don't tell you. At least they haven't yet.
I don't know that they've been consistent with it over the years. I mean, it's always, look, it's always the lower level ones and they build up to MVP. So you're going to get sixth man most improved.
Ooh, but
you're going to find those out earlier than you're going to get MVP.
You know what they're doing, though? They are allowing everybody to see every voter's complete ballot, though.
Oh, that's good.
How about that?
I heard Greg Anthony last night say SGA was his MVP.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't, just gives me a little. Brief, fleeting piece of film.
By the way, do you have the Jimmy Jackson, Greg Anthony problem? Like when they're doing color, I can never remember. Like I can't discern between their two voices.
Greg Anthony, I feel like pops up everywhere. Like he was more. That was last night where I'm like, Greg Anthony, you're doing games here.
I had the same thought because when Jimmy Jackson was doing it, I was like, oh, is that Greg Anthony? And they're like, Greg Anthony, haha. And there was Greg Anthony last night, so I don't know.
I don't know. For me, for whatever reason, his voice, like you know, certain. I feel like it's very individual by individual, but some voices just like they stand out to you. For whatever reason, his voice stands out to me.
Okay.
Not that it's very, like, a voice that I would say stands out, you know?
NFL draft, Thursday. A little more than 72 hours away now. Again, I'm doing the podcast with Luke and Drew after the show today. Let's just look at some of the prices again. And I just want to say this, Kelly. I think after my first flurry of bets, I think what I'm most happy with myself about is that I've let the draft come to me. In terms of bets. So I thought I was done with betting. And then I thought the 4.5 quarterbacks over got too high. So I bet the under because I actually have a lean to the under. I wasn't going to bet it. But when it got so high, I'm like, I kind of think enough about the under 4.5. I'm going to bet it at this price now. I got it at +160, not nearly as high as some others. And then the other one is I had no intention, none of betting who's going to be the second pick in the draft. And then if you listen to the show on Friday, I did a whole first segment on why I thought the move against Jaden Daniels going two was just bunk. And I gave my reasons as to why I thought Adam Peters is absolutely going to draft Jaden Daniels number two. And so I got into that market. I was like, fine, you moved it this much. Right now, Jaden Daniels is -155. I got him at -125 Friday morning. And that wasn't even the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
It got to -110 or -115.
Yeah, I added, we talked about it on the show on Friday. I wanted to see where the resistance hit. And it did hit on Friday by the time we were here sitting here. But I bet at -140, and then I bet at -145 again yesterday because this price does seem to start I think it's Caesars in town or something, -180 it's back up to. So it is kind of running back Jaden Daniels' way. So, yeah, that was one. You know, we've talked about it for weeks. I think I always liked him number two. The price was just a little – it was a little prohibitive for me getting involved. Now I feel like, okay, we got a little bit more news out there. I don't really think there's anything that makes me think that they are very, very much, you know, crossed him off their list or looking elsewhere. So I'm in with you. Let's go. Number two overall.
Jaden Daniels right now, -155 is for the number two pick in the draft. Again, part of the crux for me on Friday was Adam Peters is a human being. I know it's his first gig as the GM with Washington. I know it's a new owner. And I know supposedly he has carte blanche. But in the end, Adam Peters is a human being. And one of the things as a human being that you're motivated by is fear of failure. If you draft Jaden Daniels and it fails, it is not quite the same repercussion coming as it would be if you draft Drake May and it fails. That is as big of a motivator as anything else. Of all the other football stuff that you love about Jaden Daniels, the multi-dimension aspect of his game, the fact that he played at a bigger program and against greater competition, all those things. But there's the human element as well. And again, I know he wasn't with the franchise, but Adam Peters has to know this franchise just drafted a UNC quarterback a couple years ago, didn't work out in Sam Howell. And when they did pick number two, a quarterback, so many years ago, 2012, exactly 12 years ago, it was RG3, and that worked out great until RG3 got hurt. Number three, Drake May is your favorite, -145. Jaden Daniels, +155. J.J. McCarthy, +320. I'm not sure New England's drafting a quarterback, man. I don't know. They could trade out. I'm just not convinced here.
Well, I mean, if they drafted the third pick, they're drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, I think...
Okay.
I think so, but I don't know that they're... Let's put it this way. I haven't made a bet here because I'm not sure.
I mean, my opinion has not changed like since we've been talking about the past. We 3, 4, and 5 up in the air right
up in
now.
The air.
Up in the air. I think any of these spots are going to be trade destinations, if you will.
Number 4 is Arizona. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the favorite. If they stay there, minus 225 on Marvin Harrison Jr. J.J. McCarthy at plus 180. Again, will there be a trade? Will they stand pat? If they stand pat, what did C.J. Stroud say about his old teammate Marvin Harrison Jr.? If they're staring you in the face with Marvin Harrison Jr., he said, don't be dumb.
Yeah. I am rooting for a Patriots trade because that was the first bet I made. I made it pretty sizable, Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals, not fourth overall, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. So, man, I'm hoping the Pats trade and they get their wide receiver just falls right to them.
5.
Yeah, 5 is
Chargers. Malik Nabers plus 230. Marvin Harrison Jr., if he falls, plus 250. JJ's plus 250. Joe Alt is still where I bet him. It's plus 475. I bet Joe Alt to go 5. And I think if the Chargers stay pat, that's who they'll pick.
Yeah, me and you, a little oppo here. I've got Nabers, you've got Alt, but yeah. I think we both agree it's trade, offensive line, or wide receiver. It's one of those
things. Alt and Odunze 5 and 6 are my, again, longer shot bets. 6th pick in the draft. Malik Nabers is plus 150. This is the Giants pick. Roma Dunze is plus 250. That's lower than where I got it. I got plus 325. J.J. McCarthy, 5-1. Joe Alt, plus 850. 7, Joe Alt. This is the Titans pick. He's always been the favorite at minus 165. The 8th pick, which is the Falcons.
Oh, we got to talk more about that. No longer Dallas Turner, your favorite.
Latu is the short shot at plus 185. Dallas Turner's plus 220 now. Oh, boy. That is a bit of movement right there. More on the podcast on Beating the Book side on that. Kelly and I will talk about this as well. We'll come back, Mike Somich, and more.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And then Will Hill says to me, you know, Gil, I'm going to name my podcast. Perhaps I should have wagered an additional amount. And I said, no, just call it Should Have Bet More. That's how it can be, Should Have Bet More. Our new website's looking great, VSiN.com. Included at the website, the new VSiN.com, Adam Burke. How about this article? Should you bet against the Chicago White Sox in every single game? He gets into that. Matt Heumann's got a mock draft 1.0. That's front and center on the new website. NHL playoff betting concepts from Steve Mackinnon. Dave Tooley checks in with his takes on the first round of the NBA playoffs. All of that at VSiN.com. Latest podcasts, links to VSiN's top reads, latest odds and trends, betting strategies. Expert picks and analysis, vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin as well. You know what we have not gotten into yet today is because I asked Jay Kahn about adjusted series prices in the NHL. What about adjusted series prices now that each of the NBA series, each of the 8 has gone one game and all the home teams have a 1-0 lead in the respective best of 7 series? What about adjusted series prices in the NBA, Kelly, where in the case of the Celtics and Heat, let's just start with the most ridiculous. Again, no Jimmy Butler. The Heat are 65-1-ish on the adjusted series price down a game. 65-1 I'm staring at. Shop around for all these.
Yeah, shop around because I'm seeing 35-1. Okay. So
I'm seeing
jump
65-1.
In on 65.
I'm assuming that doesn't tempt you. Let's
no,
do
it does not.
Let's do these in reverse order. Okay, so that's the longest shot of the teams that are down 1-0. The New Orleans Pelicans without Zion, plus 664, and they almost won last night.
Yeah, it's that one feels aggressive to me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I still think
they should have won that game last night at the end.
They very easily could have. I don't think anybody deserved to win that game last night. That's the way I'll put it. With how ugly both those teams were down the stretch, felt like I was watching first round of March Madness or something like that.
It was awful.
It was awful. I still think the Thunder, just talent edge and home court's going to end up mattering. It will end up leading to them winning that series. But, man, if you told me you were going to take a game and a half or something like that with the Pelicans right now, I couldn't hate you for it.
Plus 664 on the Pels to win that series. Because yeah. Let me just, before we move on, if the Pelicans win that game last night, and again, in case you missed the ending, the Pelicans had a million chances to win that game. They're up 90-88. They had a few chances to go up 2 scores. They couldn't get it done. Then at 90-90, they had a possession where they got 4 offensive rebounds and could not put the biscuit in the basket. and left the door open. Holmgren with a block, SGA with a three-point play, and the rest is history. But if the Pelicans win that game last night, which was very possible, we come in here this morning, what would be the narrative around all of sports? The narrative would be, well, they're so young, they've never been in the playoffs before, and you know how it is in the NBA when you're that young. Every halftime show for ESPN, by the way, every halftime show, no matter what team is up and no matter what team is trailing, it's the same variation, right? Of, oh, this team stepped it up, and this team, the stage was too big, or they're too young and they're not used to it. It's the same formulaic thing. And if it in this case, though, in this case, had the Pelicans gone up 1-0, based on how we saw the Thunder play in crunch time yesterday, there might have been some meat to that.
Yeah.
And so I want if we can put your head in that space for a second, let's say it was 1-0 the other way, but it's not, right? That would be the narrative. So plus 664 doesn't, over 6.6 to 1 here on average, doesn't interest you at all on the Pelicans. But you have maybe I'm asking the wrong person, because you have a preconceived thought about
it. I just said I didn't think it was a bad bet.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
No, I thought you said plus 1.5 games.
No, I'd go plus 2.5 games and plus 145 is what I'm looking at DraftKings right now. Yes. I don't think the Pelicans are going to beat them. Yes,
that's what I thought you said.
I don't think they're going to beat them. I think that pricing is aggressive. That's what I said, though. I think over 6-1 on the Pelicans.
You did say that, but you still don't want the bet, though.
No, I mean, okay. 7-1.
All right, so you didn't want the bet. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking money line. If you were in a plus 2.5 games at plus 145, I don't think that's a bad bet. I'm not running to make it. I have Thunder bets from before the series, so I'll just be riding with those. I have Thunder in 5 and Thunder in 6.
So when you said I misunderstood you, I understood you perfectly, is what you're saying. So the Lakers are 5-1, down 1-0.
Yeah.
Do you want any part of that?
No. No, I would be quicker. I would be sooner to bet the Pelicans at that price than the Lakers at that price.
Me too. What about the Magic at north of 3-1 against the Cavs?
Man, I would love to, but no. It's the
that series is NBA TV written all over it, isn't it?
It's so gross. And why I want the Magic to win so bad, because Somehow the conversation about the Lakers tanking or should have tanking thing is still going on. Yet there's a team out there in the NBA playoffs that literally tanked to be able to win a one round in the NBA playoffs, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I want them punished
as badly as they could possibly be punished. Now, I mean, like, I don't think they're actually going to be punished. Oh. But, like, I would love to see the Magic beat them.
Just to be clear, what you're referring to is the last game of the season,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So, remember, we went into that. We actually had this horrible segment when we did the show. We were trying to figure out what team might tank and all this. And even going in the weekend when we weren't on the air, I was trying to figure out, I was like, well, this team does that and this team. I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. And the one team I never had on my radar was Cleveland, who then, in crunch time,
pull guys
against the Hornets, I believe it was.
Yes, Hornets. The Hornets. It's like 15-point favorites.
Yeah, this is a horrible lineup, and so they were like, let's be four, we'll play the Magic, this is awesome. Because once they saw the Bucks result, they were like, now we can just tank this.
They were playing right at the same time.
But the Bucks were down like a million points, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So they knew that if you look at it,
with a win, they would have ended up the 2 seed.
Correct.
I mean, they actively avoided having to play, you know, any possibility of running into Boston first round, because they could have fallen.
We talked about it that day the only thing they didn't control was what Milwaukee was doing. Once they saw that what Milwaukee was doing, then they controlled it, and they're like, we'll just take this.
I mean, all they want to do, Gil, is beat the Magic, because they think that's going to be enough to say, Donovan Mitchell, we won a playoff series, come on back.
Well, you know, they were so traumatized by how bad they looked last year, losing to the Knicks in 5, that maybe it was enough of trauma for them to just be like, we got to win one series.
I can't imagine having that mindset. And I know Max Strus, like, a lot of people wonder about this, like, hey, there's got to be some players unhappy about this. Max Strus wasn't happy about it after that last game.
All right, those are the 4 longest shots. Let's go to the next 4. We're going in, you know, shortened order here. 4th lowest number, adjusted series price on a team that's down 1-0, the Sixers, plus 250. Adjusted series price. Embiid wobbly.
Yeah.
Maxey maybe sick tonight, might not play.
Not what I'm interested in, but I think that series from a, I mean, you know, I have futures on the Sixers. So I was in on game one. I'm in on game two on the Knicks side. If that goes back to Philly, and you think if Joel Embiid like looks better, a little bit better tonight, Gil, and it, that's going back to Philly with them down 2-0, I have a there's a chance you could get a really nice price on the Sixers with Joel Embiid if he looks like he's doing a little bit better, getting on the right side. So
wait a game.
Maybe not now.
Yeah, wait a game.
I'm waiting a game, but that might be a tempting price after game two.
All right. Third lowest, the Indiana Pacers, plus 190 down a game after they got just absolutely crushed by the Giannis-less Bucks yesterday.
I think this is one I'm never going to have an answer of getting involved in this series because you just don't know with Giannis, right? We're hearing maybe after game three, after game four, he could be back, but you don't really know. A really impressive win by the Bucks yesterday. The Pacers looked absolutely terrible. But that one I'm not going to be getting involved with.
We're showing the Suns at plus 125, but I'm staring here at the Suns plus 150. Again, always shop around for these. How about the Suns, who got beat by 25 against the T-Wolves at plus 150? We'll use the high price that I see.
I'm surprised it's moving that way. I will say that. You know, when I typed up this morning at plus 125, that seemed like a more fair price. I think we might be swinging a little too far that way. So if I had to make a bet, that's where I'd lean. Still like the over, still like this to go 6-7 games. I think this will be a tight, contested series, even though Timberwolves looked great game one. And I did say before that series, I think if there is one team that's going to run away with it, it would be Minnesota. I don't think Phoenix is going to go down, though, without at least grabbing a couple games.
All right, this last one, I'm not even sure if I'm asking you about the dog or the favorite. Clippers, without Kawhi, go up 1-0 on the Mavericks. That adjusted series price is Clippers minus 133, up one game. We're showing minus 150. I'm showing it even more muted. And the Mavs, anywhere between plus 110 and plus 125 on the comeback.
The Mavs love is crazy. So, like, I bet that before the series at plus 110. It was when it first opened. So now you're talking about the Mavericks down a game. You're basically getting the same price.
Basically.
So I can't do it.
Right.
If I was someone out there, actually, no, I don't even think that the price is a little ridiculous down a game. You're down a game. You don't have home court.
What about the Clippers at minus 133?
Now, I still like the Mavericks. If I was going to bet anything, but I think that price is silly. I think if you're catching over plus 125, yeah, I would consider it. I bet it.
That Pelicans price is awfully tempting. That's the takeaway for me. Mike Somich on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free.
Split bets.
Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter bets today. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Always a pleasure to welcome this gentleman in each and every Monday to the show. He does it from his lair in California. It's Mike Somich, everybody, co-host of The Handle, Somo Bombing, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Mike? What's happening?
Doing pretty good, man. Just got done with a little wind sprints to get the daughter to school and back from it. But, you know, we're here. We're happy. We're excited to talk some sports.
Were you wind sprinting with the daughter on the way or just on the way back?
Well, I thought I had the car this morning. I didn't. So she had to bike to school. So I was trying to run to keep up with her from the bike. And then I had to run back here to make sure I got in here in time for the show. So I'm actually pretty happy with how the hair looks right now. I thought it'd be a little more out of place.
And father of the year.
We were talking about this a bit off the air. I didn't realize that's what he did this morning on the way to school. I would love video of that. Mike Somich running down the street.
Is there communication between you and your daughter? Like, are you egging her on to go faster?
She can hustle on that bike. So okay. I didn't need to, like, I needed to save the breath so I could make sure I could keep up with her there on the way to school. And there's like multiple streets you have to cross. So I have to make sure I'm at the street at the same time she is. So you've got to like change your pace as you're going here. So you're like, you're just trying to keep up for a little bit. Then you got to sprint in front. So it's
Mike's wife,
a thing, man.
Mike's wife is listening to this. She's like, she better be at the street when she's crossing.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Bob, neighbor watching.
That's right. All right. Let's start with the NHL. 6 series have begun. 2 still to come tonight, and a couple game 2s tonight as well. Let's start in the East. Why don't we talk Bruins, who are up 1-0 in their series. You like them again tonight?
I do like them again tonight. This is a series I talked about over the weekend. I think the home team is going to have an advantage all series long, and it's going to be priced at a playable number for the most part. The Bruins were -130 in game 1, came out, took care of business, won that game 4-1. Nylander is supposed to be back for Toronto tonight, so they do get a weapon back on the offensive side, but I still think the Bruins at home should be sitting here more like -150, -160. So still think there's a little bit of value here, taking them at -135, -140. If you want to get a little frisky here, I don't hate the -1.5 +180. One thing that you see in the playoffs is earlier goaltender pulls. So you do have more empty netters. We saw that in the Tampa Florida game last night, where Tampa pulled their goalie with 3.5 minutes left. We got the empty netter from Florida. Unfortunately, Tampa scored with 8 seconds left to knock out that -1.5. But you do have some more value on the -1.5s here because of those early goalie pulls.
Can I, brief aside, can I ask you about that for a second? When I was a kid, and when I say kid, I mean 5 years ago, they didn't pull their goalies till, you know, a minute plus, right? 2 minutes at the most. And then like 3-4 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong here, Mike, it was like everybody got on an email chain and they all decided, like, here's what we're going to do from now on. We're just going to pull the goalie with like 4 minutes left. What was behind that? Did everybody just decide to do it at the same time? Did one team do it and everybody followed?
Well, you know, we talk about analytics a lot in football. Analytics hadn't creeped too much into hockey, but one of the big things that has changed is when you pull the goalie. The idea is, look, if they score an empty netter, you still have the opportunity to score back twice if you pull your goalie early enough. You also want as much time as possible when you're down a goal, especially in games like the playoffs where you have to win it. So what we've seen is, because of analytics, we've seen earlier and earlier goaltender pulls. It was started by one or two teams. They started pulling their goalie with 2 minutes left in regulation during the regular season. But we've seen some pulls up to 5 or 6 minutes in some of these playoff games because they want to have that opportunity, especially a team like Tampa, who has the best power play in the NHL. Essentially, you're giving yourself a power play where the team can't ice the puck without some repercussions. And so for them, the idea of pulling their goalie early is a big plus because they're able to get those elite talent on offense on the ice with the man advantage for more time.
Once again, Kelly, March of the Penguins. And then one day, nobody knows why, one penguin took one step to the left and everybody followed.
One of my sports dreams has always been to score an empty net goal. You know, just
what,
like
your sports
with
dreams?
Nobody in front of you, right? Like, could I make it under the greatest pressure, right? Or no pressure, because, like, I mean, I guess you already got a lead.
The other Eastern Conference series that resumes today is the Hurricanes and the Islanders. Hurricanes have a 1-0 lead in that series, but they're a prohibitive favorite tonight. They're -242. So how are you betting this?
Yeah, don't really want to lay the -242. The Hurricanes, one of the best teams, especially early in games on home ice. I think this is going to be a pretty low scoring series. We saw 2-1 in that first game. Going to be more of a defensive battle here, but I'm going to look toward the first period with the Hurricanes. Lay the half goal in the first period. You're able to get +135 in this spot if you lay that half goal in the first period. This is a Canes team, again, very good at home, very good in the first period. Let's try and play that edge and take that juice from -260 all the way to +135, see if we can get a little plus money winner home.
Did you make the empty netter in your dream, Kelly?
Every time, man.
Oh, okay.
Just the crowd goes nuts.
Felt like I didn't follow up on that. I apologize.
Can you skate, Kelly?
Yeah, do you skate?
All right. You know what? I played hockey in Russia, okay?
He was just asking.
But,
I
haven't gotten on skates in like 15 years, so that's a great question, Mike.
Very defensive about his skating. My God.
We got to get the Veasan Beer League team together. I played in high school. We'd be a dynamic 1-2 combo there, Kelly.
I like it. Let's do it.
Western Conference series that have not started begin tonight, beginning with the Stars and the Golden Knights. And I see what your pick is here. You too, man. You and Jaycon both not loving the Knights tonight.
This was these two series that haven't started yet. The last day of the NHL season wildly affected them. We saw the Golden Knights lose, the Kings win, and it's a brutal draw for the Golden Knights. Now they get the best team in the West, the Stars, who've been dominant again at home. It's a Golden Knights team that made some acquisitions at the deadline. We're able to re-sign those players for long term. So I think long term, it's a great deal. They still haven't really come together and gelled in the way that I was hoping this team would be able to. Coming in here and trying to take on the Stars, I think it's a very tough spot for them. Because this is the first game in the series as well, you generally see home teams come out and dominate the first 10, 15 minutes. I think the Stars able to get a goal in that and then start to coast from there. So we're going to lay the puck and a half here, take the big plus 190 number with the Stars tonight.
Stars on the puck line for Samich. And then you just alluded to the Kings. The Oilers are minus 168 game one favorites against the LA Kings. You have a play here.
Yeah, we're going to look at the same thing we did with Carolina. Again, this is game one of the series. So like the Dallas Stars, you should see the Oilers come out with their hair on fire. McDavid planning to play on this game as expected. So we get the best player in the world back here for the Oilers as well. And this is a great matchup for the Oilers. They went 3-1 in the regular season, scored four goals multiple times in those games. I think their offense is going to have some success. And this is not exactly the most robust Kings offense in the world either. The teams that can take advantage of the Oilers are teams that can score in bunches. And that's just not this Kings team. So I think it's a great matchup here for the Oilers. I laid the game and a half in the series. We're going to look to the first period here. I do think the Oilers get out to a hot start, and we can take that minus 170 right now on the game line, get plus 165 laying the half goal in the first period. So let's take the Oilers to win the first period plus 165.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So let me review all those real quick. So Bruins minus 140 tonight, Canes minus a half a goal first period, plus 135. Then the Stars on the puck line, plus 190 for the game tonight, minus a goal and a half. And then the Oilers, much like the Canes, giving up the half goal in the first period at plus 160. I asked this question of Jay Conn earlier, Mike. Any of the teams that have fallen behind 1-0 already in the six series that have started, any of those prices on the adjusted series price look good to you or bettable?
I mean, the one team, and this is, I'm not going to play it because I've already got enough exposure to the Predators, but if you watch that game last night, very low scoring game, very, very tight game. The shots were sub 30 in middle of the way through the third period. I think that's going to be a 7-game series. I think that's going the distance. If you want to take some Predators action right now, you get a much better price than the plus 130 it started with. And I don't mind playing some of these road teams that lost game one. Look, the whole idea is to split in the first two games. If you're able to get one of the two, all of a sudden you've got home ice advantage or home court advantage if it's in the NBA. And so if I'm going to take any series price here, it would be the Predators taking the additional plus money now.
Samich and Jay Conn matching on that too. It's like Garanimals, hockey betting.
I might have to make a Predators bet.
Yeah.
Hockey bet.
Well, hockey bet from Kelly Bidlin.
That would be number two of the year.
We're going to save all the NBA stuff for the other side. Did you bet any NFL draft stuff, Mike?
I've got quite a bit of NFL draft stuff. The one that I like the most right now, Brock Bowers, you can get him to go 10th overall, plus 150. The market's just not correct to me. If you look at the Jets' first overall pick, they've got the tight end there at plus 140. With the way that this falls, I just don't see how it ends up not being Bowers there in the 10th pick. I don't think they're going to have the choice of the offensive lineman they want. You could see Alt go a little bit earlier, which could push two out before you see them. I don't expect Adunze to be there. I don't think you'll see Dallas Turner there. And I think they're going to want to get another weapon out there for Aaron Rodgers. So like the plus 140 number there. I also like the Denver Broncos to take a cornerback at 13. They've got so many weaknesses across that whole team. And I think Travion Arnold is going to be sitting there and he makes a ton of sense for them. Right now, Denver to take a cornerback first is plus 350. So like that one quite a bit as well.
Yeah, Denver with the 12th pick in the draft. Just one clarification on that. 12th
pick. That was one Luke pointed out last week as well. He just thought that Denver positional market that Mike's talking about was just a little mispriced with how favored the quarterback was for them. So yeah, that was one he liked as well.
As we go out here, I'm just going to ask you to speculate. Where do you think the first surprise comes?
Three. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Wow. Oh, Kelly. No! Just made Kelly very angry. He's leaving. He's very angry, Kelly. Okay, we'll come back. Mike's NBA picks for tonight, and we'll revisit our Celtics hypothetical bet about their total number of losses in the Eastern Conference playoffs, which obviously is injury-riddled now since we made it. Coming back, Numbers Game Visa and the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live at Bar Canada at the D, getting all kinds of texts about what we just said. Michael Montesano texted Michael Marvin Harrison Jr., 25-1 to go number three. He says, I took it. I have him going number four as well, but just in case, I took it. I just want to
be. You know what, Michael? I might be joining you on that. Yeah, I might be joining.
We were going to talk NBA, and we will with Mike Somich, but I want to harken back to what you just said at the end, because I asked you just randomly on the way out. I'm like, where's the surprise? And you're like, three, Patriots are taking Marvin Harrison. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, so off air, we were talking about this, because I am with you in the sense that I think I know what's happening at one and two, but I really don't know what's happening at number three. What we were talking about off air was, if that happens, describe the effects of that then moving forward in that draft. Who gets affected the most?
Well, I mean, the other quarterbacks, I mean, Drake May to me obviously gets affected because he's going to drop down. But I think the Arizona Cardinals then have a scramble on their hands because they've got to move out of that four pick. They don't want to take Malik Nabers at four. They want to get as much capital as they can for whoever wants to come up and get Drake May. So I think you kind of see a scramble on there. The question is, it going to be someone like the Raiders who want to jump up? The Broncos have mentioned that they want to move up for a quarterback, but they don't really have the capital. The Vikings are sitting there at 11 and 23, and they're just licking their chops because if Drake May ends up going four and someone trades up for him, the cost for them to go get JJ McCarthy at, let's say, you know, eight from the Falcons is significantly less. You've got the Giants who are sitting there. They now have a decision because McCarthy most likely going to be bored on six. So to me, it really shifts the balance of what happens here. And it affects JJ McCarthy a lot. I think he ends up going maybe outside the top 10. You could see him at like 11 to the Vikings if they decide to just call everybody's bluff and say, hey, we're going to keep this draft capital. We think we're going to get our guy. And if not, we're fine with Penix in the second round, right?
I think that what you just hit on there at the end, I think that's the biggest effect. Like someone like McCarthy could fall outside of the top 10 and then becomes just a different draft than we imagine, which I think then brings up the point, which we don't say enough, if ever, which is, remember, not only is this an information-based thing, but the draft is set for Thursday night. The first round is Thursday night. Had the draft been set for any other night, either a week in advance, a week later, 5 days in advance, 5 days later, whatever, that it is a moving target of where these teams' brains are at that moment, right? And that we're actually betting that. We're betting where everyone's brains will be on that particular night and not 2 days before, 2 days after, or 5 days before, 5 days after. And that just, if you think of it in that way, it does become kind of amusing because you're like, oh, wow. If I'm right, I'm right because I timed it right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong because I just blew it on the timing.
Well, that was also, I feel like that's also been a big reason of a lot of us thinking that teams are going to trade back into the end of that first round for a quarterback, like over the years, not one specific draft, but over the years because they've separated the day, right? Like that's always one of JVT's big thing. We're like, we make too much of that. Like, it's still under.
Yeah. I could talk about the Guardians for an hour, and I could talk about this draft for an hour, which we will after the show here in NFL draft podcast, again with Vegas Refund, Luke Swain, and Drew Densick. All right, Mike, NBA. Let's get to your thoughts. Well, before we get to your thoughts, I'm sorry, one more thing. We had this thing where I set the hypothetical line on Celtics losses in the Eastern Conference 2 weeks ago at 5.5. It was right before Giannis went down. Then, obviously, Jimmy Butler went down. Embiid keeps re-aggravating it. My God, 5.5 is way too high now, right?
I like my side of this one, Gil. I'm not going to lie. It looks like it's way too high. I mean, it feels like Boston's going to be able to sweep Miami. Miami tried to use some zone magic to be able to slow them down, and Boston just rained threes down over their head. They're not going to be able to do that in this series. I'd be shocked if Miami able to get a game from Boston at this point. We saw the sweep price go off at plus 125. Boston was 8,000-1, or I'm sorry, minus 8,000 to win the series. So feels like this is going to be a nice little 4-0, which means that we've got six games to give. We just have to avoid the 4-3, 4-3. In those last two rounds, and the winner of the Cavs Magic draws the Celtics in the second round. And while they're not banged up, they're not very good either.
No,
so I'm happy with that position.
All right, Cavs Magic, let's start there. You have a play tonight's first game tonight.
I can't quit the Magic. Like, I love this defense. I don't like this Cavs team. It feels like Donovan Mitchell's halfway out the door. He missed 15 of the last 22 games. He did look pretty good in that first game. But if you look at how the Magic were able to play defensively, they gave up 20, 20, and 24 points the second, third, and fourth quarter. We saw Cleveland shoot the basketball very well in the first quarter. That was really the difference in this game. The Magic at one point were 2 for 19 from three-point range. They can't shoot worse. So I'll go back to the well here. I'll take some plus 5.5 for the Magic. And if I was going to rebet a series here, I would take the Magic again in the series.
Oh, okay.
We're at 1-0. If this goes back 1-1, this is going to flip all the way to the Magic's being short dogs or slight favorites because they take over home court advantage. This is going to be a rock fight of a series all the way through. I'm happy to take the Magic here at the plus 5.5. And I'd sprinkle on the series if I didn't have some pre-series.
Sprinkle on the adjusted series price on the Magic for Mike Somich. And again, they're north of $3 are the Magic on the adjusted series price. So he likes the Magic better than he likes the Pelicans on the adjusted series price, down 1-0 at 650-1.
I mean, Mike, clearly Donovan Mitchell told the Cavs, all I need to win is one playoff series with you guys and I'll sign back, right? That's the only way any of this makes any sense. Clearly that conversation already happened.
I mean, he's out, right? Like, there's no way he's coming back to Cleveland with the way this has gone the last couple of years. I'd be shocked if he's going to be a Cavalier at the end of this season. I think Cleveland tanked because they wanted to try and get that one playoff series. I know you guys were talking about that a couple segments ago. But the problem is, congratulations, you win. Here's the Boston Celtics who are going to either sweep you or beat you 4-1. How's that going to feel walking out the door?
Mazel tov. You're staying away from the game two between the Sixers and the Knicks tonight?
I am. I laid it with the Knicks in the first game. This is a number adjusted quite a bit. So that was -3 in the first game. Now we're seeing -6 here. I still have so many questions about Embiid, what you're going to get from him. He still looks like a shell from himself. I thought he was done when he did that little alley-oop play. It was all the emotions in one play because you thought, hey, this is what makes the Sixers great and what the problem is. But I can't get up to 6 here. I think this number is right with the adjusted total. So I laid it in game one. I'm not going to touch game two here. I may take some Knicks when we go back home, depending on what the price is going to be, because you are going to see this line shorten up significantly when they're in Philadelphia.
Nuggets are touchdown favorites in game two tonight against the Lakers. You are betting this a couple ways.
I am. Favorite bet on the board right now, under 5.5 games in this series, -110. If you watch that Lakers-Nuggets game, tell me what could have gone better for the Lakers.
I agree.
That was pretty much the A effort. That was everything you'd want. LeBron was a machine in the first half. Davis goes for what, 34 and 14, something crazy like that. And they still fall 10 points short to the Nuggets. This is a problem. The Nuggets are just better and they're more efficient. I think the Nuggets get done with this series in 4 or 5. Love the under 5.5 games this series, -110. And I'm going to lay the first half with the Nuggets here. You saw LeBron out of gas. Davis started getting gas in the late parts of that game. They've got to play at altitude again tonight. Nuggets, very good home team first half. So we'll lay the 4 with the Nuggets in the first half in this game, but love the series under 5.5 games.
Yeah, AD 32, 14, and 5 in that game one performance. And I said basically the same thing earlier, Mike, which is, I mean, I know a lot of people love the Lakers, but what else did you have to see to know that eventually the Nuggets are going to beat you?
Literally their A game. That was as good as a gift from the Lakers, and they still could not even keep that game close. And that to me is a huge issue. And I don't see how, even with the extended rest you have in between games in the playoffs, it just feels like LeBron's going to run out of gas every single one of these games. I don't fully trust AD is able to put that performance every single time. And on the other side, I trust the Nuggets to play like that pretty much every game.
They're consistent.
Yep. That's what makes them so great.
I agree completely. All right, 90 seconds. We got to run, but let me circle back to the draft because I've asked this of pretty much everybody on the show that we've talked draft to, which is, what do you think you know for sure? What are the things you're most confident in?
For me, there's three picks I'm confident in. One's going to be Caleb Williams. I think 7's Joe Alt, unless something goes really crazy and you see him go 5. I think 10 is Brock Bowers. I think all of those make a ton of sense from that perspective. I also like the under on Brian Thomas Jr. Right now you get 19.5 out there. I think his floor is the 18th pick. When you look at this wide receiver class, you've got the three big guys, right? You've got Adunze sitting there at 3, and the gap between Adunze and Brian Thomas Jr., there is a gap. But the biggest gap in this wide receiver market to me is between Brian Thomas Jr. and whoever you want to put at number 5. With how valuable wide receivers are, especially on rookie deals, I think someone goes up and gets Brian Thomas Jr. You've also got the Jags sitting there at 17. He's a likely landing spot for them. The 18th pick, likely landing spot for him. You can get under 19.5 at +115. I took under 18.5 at +185. I think he ends up going in those early teen spots.
Wow. I hope you're wrong about the Jags, though, in that specific spot. I got them drafting a cornerback at 17. We'll see. We didn't say Samo bomb. Let's see if we can do it. Samo bombing. No, nothing. Didn't
come. No, okay.
There we go.
There it is.
There it is. Samo bomb. All right. It's an official segment. Thank you, Mike. That was a lot. Appreciate that. NHL, NBA, and the NFL draft. Thank you as always, man.
Yeah, of course. It's a great sports time right now.
It is.
Love the NFL draft in here with the playoffs going on.
Yeah. While Scotty Scheffler and Nelly Korda just destroy golf every week. Thank you, sir. Enjoy. Glad your daughter got to work. Or to your school, I should say. Mike
Somich. It's our work. We'll allow it.
Mike Somich, everybody, at Samobomb18 on Twitter, co-host of The Handle, which he does with Matt Brown each and every Saturday and Sunday, 12 noon Eastern. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.